Yeah, hi, my name is Russell Brown, and I'm talking about the drones. Harry asked me to give you a little background on my military experience and how it brought me to resist the drones. Basically, I grew up on Long Island, and I was a very naive kid, didn't know much about anything, and I joined the Marines to get my 2 years over with. They had a program, 2 years and no meetings, and so then I went to Vietnam, and that's where I got all my political education. I never heard of Vietnam before then. I never wanted to be a soldier, and I went over there. And while I was over there, I saw a lot of things. Like, first of all, in boot camp, what you have to realize, if you're in the military, you have your job is either learning to kill somebody or learning to help somebody else kill somebody. That's pretty much what. So if you decide to sign up for the military, that's what you're deciding to do. And all that, and the people you're killing are people that your government wants to oppress. So I didn't know that till I was over there. By the time I left, I really, really learned to appreciate the people that were the enemies of the U.S. government. They were amazing people. Anyhow, but several things happened to me, and one of the things that is a really turning point in my life was, I'll just tell you that one story, but I have a ton of them. And we were on an operation and in Vietnam. It was the end of the day, and our whole battalion is lined up along this railroad track, and it's like a berm that comes up about this high on me. And across it is a rice paddy and then a tree line way in the distance. And all of a sudden, there is a carbine shot in our direction, and you can tell when someone's shooting at you. And, everybody turns real quick and looks across, and they see these people in black pajamas go down on the other side of the rice paddy. So everybody opens up, riflemen, machine guns, mortars, etc. And then they send my fire team out there to check for weapons and etc. And it was all dead women and children and no weapons. And what happened is somebody, some sniper, shot from the tree line, and people. And so those people were not, the soldiers that shot these people were not trying to kill innocent people. It was a mistake. But the very fact that we were over there is where the war cry begins. We had no right to be there in that country. And it really got me thinking about a lot of things. And when I got back, I got very involved in the anti-war movement. I worked with Vietnam Veterans Against the War. And we did a lot of stuff. It was really very educational. And I learned about a lot of things. I learned about gay rights, about sexism, about oppression of black people with my work with Vietnam Veterans Against the War. And after many years of doing that, one of the interesting things is when I never went to prison. I've been arrested several times and gone to jail and then got out the next day, you know, and had to go to trial or not, you know. But I remember going in Washington, D.C., when they put us in prison, and it was really filled up, so we had to stay in the hallways between the cells. And you look in all the cells, and it's just black people in the cells, no white people.
Right.
And they couldn't understand why we were there on purpose. You know, it was like it blew their minds that people would actually just come into this place. You know, but anyhow, so. I got involved in a lot of other things, and away from that, I was trying very much to get the war out of my head, and then the Afghan war started, and it really drove me crazy, and I started to get involved in anti-war activities for Afghan and Iraq, and then I thought about, when I heard about the drone stuff, you know, I thought, we killed all those people from about 300 yards, how can somebody with a drone know who they're killing from the other side of the world? And I thought more and more about that, and that was kind of a simple way of looking at it, but it just really caught my attention, and so I started to find out more about it, work with the people, and then I went to Hancock Airfield outside of Syracuse. They have, they operate what they call MQ-9 Reaper drones that have Hellfire missiles and bombs. And we've been going there for, what, about 5 years, and people get arrested all the time, over and over again. There's several people here that have been arrested there. And what we're trying to say is, back in the civil rights movement, I would say that the idea was the people were doing what they were doing is civil disobedience. There was a law that was wrong, like black people couldn't go to the same counter as white people or use the same bathroom. So what they did is they violated those laws and got arrested, and but their function was to change the laws that were wrong. What we're doing in our anti-drone thing is, we call it civil resistance, in that, and the difference is that the laws are all on the books, and we're trying to enforce those laws. There are things like the United Nations, all the rules of war, Nuremberg trial. We executed people from the Nuremberg trials. We were part of the people that wrote them for war crimes. And then when it comes to our people doing them, we just let them get by. And so we're pretty much trying to force the military base to stop executing people, assassinating people in other countries. And pretty much that's what the job of a pilot is. If you're a drone pilot, your job is to, they sit all day on a screen and they watch people. And there's two different ways they kill them. One is called a personal strike. If they were following me, for example, a drone, and they decided to hit me right now, all you guys would be gone. That's the first thing. The second thing is, it might not be me. How do they know it's really me, you know? And like, for example, that group Reprise, they came out with a report in November saying that every once in a while they announced that a leader of Al-Qaeda or a leader of the Taliban or somebody was executed. They finally caught somebody. Some of those people have been executed 7 times. No, seriously. And so you wonder, who were the other 6 people they killed, thinking it was one of those people, and all the people that were with them that died with it, you know? Well, that's based on the concept of the personal strikes. They also have, and probably more people die, is from signature strikes. And the signature strikes are when, like they see a pickup truck in the night driving across the desert. Well, that must be some Al-Qaeda people or Taliban, and so they blow it up. And it turns out it's families, business people, etc., that was it. They were just transporting themselves to another place. And then that's why you always hear about wedding parties being blown up, because they have a big celebration. The big political jergas, where all the political leaders are together out there having a meeting, we blow them up. And not only do we blow them up, sometimes what they'll do is they'll go over a village and they'll blow up this house. Now everybody in that village knows that the people they blew up weren't doing anything that they're saying they were doing. However, when they blow them up, and then the drone goes away for 15 minutes and it comes back and hits them again. And they hit them again because they figure that everybody that's helping them must be involved with it too. And which is another war crime. You're not supposed to do that. And just last week, the U.S. government bombed that hospital in Kundu. And what was really strange about it is they had this big hospital thing, maybe the size of a football field, and there's lots of buildings, and in the middle of it there's a hospital. And this wasn't a drone, but it's a C-130 comes by. And, well, first of all, the Doctors Without Borders are just a reputable group that take care of people all over the world, no matter what politics they have, etc. They just heal people that are wounded or injured. Now, they recognize that they're in the middle of a war zone. You know, there's a lot of battles going on there in Afghanistan right now where they are. And so they, every 3 days or so, they would send their coordinates into the U.S. government, the Afghan, etc., everybody that would know about them, so they wouldn't get bombed. They said, we're a hospital, we're sitting here. Well, so what happens that one day, about 2 o'clock in the morning, they come by and they bomb the hospital, none of the other buildings, they bomb the hospital and fly away, and they turn around. And every 15, immediately, Doctors Without Borders called the U.S. government, called the government, U.S. people in Afghanistan, called Afghan, called the U.N., called everybody. But those bombers kept coming back every 15 minutes for an hour, bombing just the hospital. And 22 people died, 37 wounded, children were in there, The people that survived said that the patients burned to death in their beds in the intensive care units. It's horrible, you know. I'm surprised that hospital workers all over America aren't out in the streets demanding an investigation. The U.S. government, well, I'm out walking every day, so I don't see the latest news, but the last time I saw the news, the U.S. government's refusing to do an independent investigation. Well, you know, you can't have the military investigate the military because they're going to cover up what's wrong, you know. So anyhow, that's a side thing. So basically, they've been killing people, assassinating people from this base out here at Syracuse. I don't know which way Syracuse is from here. For about 5 years we've been doing it. Now they're going to be doing it. About a year ago, they got a new mission at Niagara Falls Air Base. And that new mission is the MQ-9 Reaper drones. And they haven't started killing people, but the pilots are training at Fort Drum and Hancock, et cetera, et cetera. And this past spring, they got a $7.1 million government thing to refurbish all the buildings so they can just sit there and control the killing of people over. They're not going to just, it's not just they're killing people. I mean, I don't mean that's nothing. But they're also going to be doing all kinds of surveillance and stuff like that to control what's going on in the community. So we thought it would be a good idea to connect the two. And so we decided to do a walk from Hancock Base to Niagara Falls. It's about 165 miles. And so we go about roughly 15 miles every day. And we have signs and banners. And we have some beautiful graphics. I mean, incredible, that we were going to put up here. But the truck, we got uncoordinated with the truck. And so it didn't make it to the door. But one of the things that I really liked is they did an action a very short while ago, a few weeks ago. And two of our walkers today aren't with us right now. They had to go back to Syracuse because they have a court appearance tomorrow. So they have to meet with some people. They have a meeting tonight, and then tomorrow they're going to be in court. And they've all been arrested a few times, and some of them go to jail. There's got to be a strategy, and I don't know what it is, and we really don't. We just keep, what we're doing right now is just trying to let people know what goes on at those bases. And we know that you're not going to talk the president or Congress into stopping the drone program. The drone program is really profitable. It's like the Iraq War. People say it was a failure. But it wasn't a failure for industry. All the big corporations that make weapons, they made a fortune. And the same thing happens with the drone industry. You know, what's that company that makes the dials? They also make the Hellfire missiles. Now,
what? No, it's Lockheed.
Yeah, Lockheed Martin. They make the Hellfire missiles that they use. And what the Hellfire missiles, what you got to realize is, remember when they had that Jordanian pilot got burned alive in a cage by ISIS, and everybody was outraged, and it is outrageous. But we do that on a regular basis, because when the Hellfire missiles hits one of those trucks, it has special aluminum powder that burns in it really hot, and so what they do is they toast everybody inside that thing, they burn to death, and we do it all the time. So we do the exact same thing. The difference between us and ISIS is ISIS wants the world to see what they're doing. The United States doesn't want us to know, you know, but we do all those things. We're responsible for ISIS, in my opinion. ISIS being here, we set them up. Other people will tell you the same thing. And they learn from us what to do and what they can get away with and what makes sense to them, you know. So I don't know where I can go with this, but anyhow, that's why we're walking. That's my short story.